For All Things Considered on Georgia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ricky Bevington. 2019, it's been a consequential year across Georgia's political landscape. The inauguration of a new governor, fierce debates over voting and reproductive rights, and national attention over the state's potential to flip from Republican to Democrat. GPB political reporter Stephen Fowler joins me in the studio now to recap some of the biggest moments of the year. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Ricky.
So let's start all the way back in January. Republican Governor Brian Kemp has just taken office after a bruising gubernatorial election. Kemp won by just a hair, beating Democrat Stacey Abrams by less than 60,000 votes. And that caused alarm among Republicans who thought that they should be holding power comfortably in a deeply conservative state. Here is how Kemp introduced himself at his inauguration.
Elections can simply rip us apart. But after visiting all 159 counties, I can tell you this. We have so much in common.
Kemp went on to say he will fight for all Georgians, not just the ones who voted for him. So a year in, Stephen, how's he doing so far?
Well, you know, if you're Governor Brian Kemp, you're feeling pretty good about these things. He's made progress on just about everything he campaigned for, like a teacher pay raise, $3,000 of that, healthcare reform through some waivers, fully funding the state's education formula, school safety grants, and on and on and on. Next year, though, he's in for an uphill battle with the state budget. He's asking agencies to cut back by about 4% this fiscal year, 6% next year. He says state revenues aren't where they need to be. Also ahead is going to be the status of the state's new abortion law that bans most abortions starting around 6 weeks into pregnancy. Now, Democrats and some moderate Republicans say that it's an extreme restriction of women's reproductive rights. He signed the bill in May. It was supposed to take effect January 1st, but it's being held up in the courts.
Let's talk about that abortion law. Georgia joined several other states in passing tighter restrictions that have also been blocked by the courts. So where does Georgia's bill fit into this larger national conversation about abortion?
Well, Ricky, this year, several states passed tighter abortion restrictions. Pretty much all of them were stopped by the courts, but that was kind of the plan. Conservatives deliberately write these laws to be struck down by the courts so that maybe they go up the legal ladder so that one day, potentially, the Supreme Court could hear this case and overturn the landmark Roe versus Wade decision. Candidates on both sides of the aisle have said this will be kind of a rallying issue heading into state legislature races in 2020.
All over the country.
All over the country.
So another big political story this year has revolved around elections. The state's currently doing the largest ever rollout of new voting machines. That's just the beginning. How has voting changed just in 2019?
Well, for starters, we're getting new machines. No more will we be using 17-year-old outdated touchscreen voting machines. Now we have these new ballot marking devices. It's also a touchscreen, but it prints out a piece of paper that has a summary of your election choices, and you have to stick it in a scanner in order for it to be cast and counted. There's also two big lawsuits. One of them is trying to stop electronic voting, and the other says basically the way Georgia runs its elections are wrong. And finally, the state just removed hundreds of thousands of inactive voters from its rolls, but about 450,000 new registrations have been added since last November's election, so voting is still a contentious conversation here.
Finally, Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson shocked everyone when he announced he would step down at the end of this year before his term is over. Isaacson does suffer from Parkinson's disease. How does this decision change the balance of power here in Georgia?
Well, Ricky, Johnny Isaacson's retirement represents the end of an era. He's the only Georgia lawmaker to have served in the State House and Senate and the U.S. House and Senate, you know, 3 decades plus of service. And, you know, it's probably the end of any semblance of bipartisanship leading into this election. Here he is during a farewell address last month from the floor of the U.S. Senate.
I'm big on bipartisanship. Whether you're black or white, Republican or Democrat, whatever it might be, find a way to find common ground. Give it a chance to work. And if it doesn't, be a future friend.
Well, after that, Governor Kemp appointed Atlanta businesswoman Kelly Loeffler to fill Isaacson's seat for about 10 months because there's going to be a special election next year. Loeffler's politically unknown, a mega donor who might have to face challenges from both Democrats and Republicans next year in this election because of her unknown views.
So looking ahead to 2020 very briefly, why will next November's election be so historic in Georgia?
Well, it's extremely rare to have both U.S. Senate seats on the ballot and every U.S. House seat and every state legislature seat and the President of the United States on the ballot. And with that comes control of the state house, which controls the political maps that are drawn through redistricting that'll guide things for the next decade. And last quick thing, Democrats and Republicans have been steadily building up their grassroots manpower and fundraising over the course of this year. So all signs are pointing to huge turnout from both sides in this very tight battle for elections next fall.
And GPB will be covering it every step of the way. GPB political reporter Stephen Fowler, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.